Church fights are the worst fights, perhaps because they break out among people who profess to believe in unity and profess to be in love. And many Christians have been so hurt by a fellow believer that they walk away from the church and they never return.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of Philippians continues today with the message he's titled, Prosperous and Happy. Now, Pastor.
Let's turn to, we're going to enter a brand new chapter, chapter 4 of Philippians on this Mother's Day. And let me just read the verses this morning that we're going to be covering. Philippians 4, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul the Apostle, writing from prison, says this. He says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved." What a word. He says, "I implore Udio and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women." It's a Mother's Day message, believe it or not. "Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, or will say, rejoice, and let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand." And the church says, amen. Let us pray. Father, we praise you this morning on this Mother's Day, Lord, as we give thanks that you're not only with us, but you are for us, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord God, as we look at this great day, that when we do honor the moms and Lord, the sacrifices that they make. Lord, this time, we pray over all the mothers, grandmothers, and Lord, great-grandmothers. Lord, we pray because they've been through and still are going through the worst pandemic in our lifetime. And Lord, they've sacrificed, they've worked from home and also taught their children. It has been indeed a hard year for everyone, especially mothers. And Lord, I just pray over them now that we give thanks for them, because Lord, you created motherhood and we give you praise. Lord, help me this morning as we look into the lives of these two women, probably two mothers, and that Lord, you help me to teach your word and that it brings edification and comfort and even correction to us this morning. So Lord, we give you praise now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. We've arrived at a brand new chapter in the book of Philippians. And, you know, Philippians has been a great study. Amen. You know, remember this letter written from prison. We call it the most joyous letter that Paul ever penned out of all of his epistles. And this was written to the church at Philippi, which was the first Christian church established, remember, in Europe. He led Lydia there in Acts 16 down by the riverside to the Lord, and that's how it all began. So that happened on his second missionary journey. So with all that being said, I hope by now that you have the outline of Philippians embedded in your heart and mind. Remember chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Amen? So Christ is our life. In chapter 2, Christ is our example, Philippians 2, 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And then in chapter 3, it's verse 10, "that we may know the Lord." Amen? Boy, he is our goal. We're reaching forward to the Lord. And then now we begin in chapter 4, the last outline, which is 4:13, if you will. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." However, it seems that whenever we have division among one another, or that we are at odds with one another, it seems like we can't do anything through Christ. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at two women. And, you know, I was going to bring a Mother's Day message, but this is a Mother's Day message. But I really felt in my heart, the Lord said, no, I want you to stay right in Philippians, because this is like a divine timing, isn't it? Because we're going to be talking about women who are at odds with one another. So this is a great text this morning. You know, we're going to be talking about, we're going to use their names, what it means in their Greek names. It's prosperous and happy. Say that with me. Prosperous and happy. So those are the two women we're going to be dealing with this morning. It's interesting now that Paul the Apostle, we left off with him weeping for the about the enemies of the cross, remember? And now we move to these two women. And it's so interesting to me because Paul, he didn't, you know, we were curious, okay, Paul, who are these enemies of the cross? He didn't name them, but he names these two women. Isn't that interesting? And he tells us their names and so forth. And listen to me now. I want you to look at this because maybe, I pray that no one is at odds this morning with one another or divided or sowing discord or division or any of those things, you know, especially between each other. But I want you to start off this morning and I want you to really look at the heart of Paul. I want you to look at the biggest heart of a pastor that you have ever in your life seen. And it's found in the very first verse of chapter 4. Look at it with me as he brings, he's starting to bring correction, but he does it ever so slowly. And the words here, they're not only tender, they are deeply intimate and they're full of love. Now look at it. He says, therefore, meaning that goes back to, remember, the citizens of heaven, that's who we are. He says, therefore, my beloved, my longed for brethren, my joy, crown, so stand fast in the Lord. And he just has to say it again, be loved. I'm going to tell you something. If there comes a point where I need to be corrected, I want somebody like that to correct me. Do you understand? In other words, he is disengaging everyone at Philippi before he ever engages in what he wants to talk about. And when you really look at this, I mean, number one, it's written from prison. But number two, if you've ever been in the military, and if you say we're in my generation, when the draft, we were drafted, and all of a sudden, at a very tender young age, you know, you're taken out of your home, and you find yourself in basic training. Do you understand? Well, when I read that, it reminds me of that verse 1. It reminds me of the letters that I sent my sister who raised me. And it was like, oh, I miss you, sister. I love you. Did I ever hurt you? You know what I mean? Never mind. Now, let's read it again, and then we'll begin. Therefore, he says, my beloved, my longed-for brethren, my joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So Paul, twice, he uses the word beloved there to the people at Philippi, meaning dearly loved. I say, the way I say it is loved ones, which that's who we are in the Lord. So when Paul says longed for here, you know, that's really the only place in the New Testament that this particular word is found. And so his love for this church is so deep. He says to them, listen, you are my crown, Stephanos. You are my, you're my victory, if you will. I am so honored that, you know, that because I know you and love you, that we're all brethren and so forth. So Paul's possession was not into possessions. He was into people. He was into this church. And listen to Paul's heart from chapter 1, verse 8. And he says the same thing, basically. He says, for God is my witness, in Philippians 1, 8, how greatly I long for you all. And watch this, with the affection, or literally with the heart of Jesus Christ. Listen, to pen a letter like that and say, I want everyone at Philippi to know, and I call God to be my witness, that I love you with the same heartbeat as Jesus Christ loves you. That's a profound statement, loved one. That is a heart of a pastor. I mean, the tremendous heart of a pastor. And he says, and now look what he does. He gives a command, and he says this. He says, so stand fast, or stand firm in the Lord. And then he uses that word again, beloved. Now, to stand fast doesn't mean that we're standing still. it actually means that we're standing firm in the Lord, and that means we're reaching forward for the prize, the finish line, the goal, amen. We're pressing toward all that, each and every believer. But when Paul is setting this up, he's setting it up to address these two women, okay? And so he says there, let me tell you how you can be stable in an unstable world, and that is only in the Lord. Amen? And so that could be a Mother's Day word to all mothers today. I mean, you've been through a hard time with this COVID. We're still in, it's nearly out of sight. I pray that it is. But you know, the Bible tells us that we need to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. Amen? Strong in the Lord. That's a Mother's Day word. Finally, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord in Ephesians 6:10 and the power of his might. Boy, that's something we all need to do. And we do that by being in the Lord or abiding in Christ. Jesus told us in John 15:5, he says, without me, he says, you can do absolutely nothing. And that's why it's so important that in chapter 4, we get into our heart that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now, the reason that Paul said stand fast, again, is that he's preparing to address these two women. And they're prominent women. They're mature in the Lord. And they're very well known, of course, at Philippi, but they're divided. So with everything being said, let's do this. Go back to chapter 1 about standing fast with me, and let's look at verse 27 together, Philippians 1:27. And look what Paul says. He says, only let your conduct, remember that word means citizenship, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, and here it comes now, that you, meaning everyone in the church, stand fast. There's that command again. And he says, stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving, not independently, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. So Paul reminds us, he's reminding the church at Philippi, not to live below your calling, but to live as citizens of heaven. So standing fast, it means to hold our position. And the reason that we're to stand fast, loved one, is we have an enemy who wants to stop us from running this race, amen? And there's an enemy that wants to stop back then, of course, these two ladies, these two sisters in the Lord, from getting back together. He wants them to remain divided. So he says, you have to stand fast. Listen, and we don't stand fast alone, we stand fast together. Someone said this, he said, two Christians are better than one when they're one. What a good word. Isn't that a good word? Let me read it again. Two Christians are better than one when they are one. So he says, stand fast in one spirit that I just read. Make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit. Now listen, Satan's method has always been this. Don't fight me, fight each other. Amen? And that's what's happening with these two precious sisters in the Lord. They're at odds with one another and so forth. Satan says, oh, don't fight the darkness. Oh, no, I want you to tear apart the light of the world. You put out their light. In other words, I want you to tear apart your brothers and sisters that Jesus died for. That's exactly what the devil wants to happen in every church, all the way back to Philippi to the very present day. So he says, stand fast in one spirit, meaning the power of another, the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, it's kind of hard to cause division. Amen? Amen. Exactly. And then he says, with one mind. Boy, that has been through this whole epistle, hasn't it? The Bible says in James 1:8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, we've already learned that we have the mind of Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have it. The church is a depository of the very mind of Christ. And then in chapter 2, we learn in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the measure that we operate in the mind of Christ and learn it will be the measure that we love one another, act like the Lord, react like the Lord, learn to forgive like the Lord, and so forth. Amen? Now, so that striving together for the faith of the gospel, that's the object. Now, with all that being said, he says, stand fast or stand firm in the Lord beloved. And here's what I want us to do now. I want you to get a movie going in your mind. We're going to go all the way back now to the house. Maybe the church was meeting in a house or wherever it was meeting. And I want you to go back as we pause and remember this. Paul's letter is being read out loud in the church. Do you follow me? And probably it's being read by Epaphroditus because he delivered it to them. He could have been, I don't know, but he could have been an elder, could have been a deacon, could have been the pastor. We don't know who exactly. But before Paul addresses these two sisters in the Lord, these two girls, these two women, okay, he's already penned 82 verses. Think about that. I mean, his patience, he just, you know, waits and waits. You know, the Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen? And that's what Paul is about to do. So after he mentions, as we just read, my joy, my crown, my brother, my long for, all of those things, he is so tender in about what he's about to do to these two women. And they don't have a clue about what's going on or what's about to happen. So you have these two prominent women. And the reason I call them prominent is they help Paul, no doubt, establish the church at Philippi. You remember, if you go back and read Acts 16, whenever Paul goes to Philippi, remember that there was not a synagogue. And it says that the women gathered for prayer at the riverside. Remember, so Paul, Silas, they went down there and they were preaching the word, and the Bible says that God opened the heart of Lydia. Well, I believe that he also opened the heart of Prosperous and Happy as well, and because we'll find in a minute that they're definitely workers helped establish that church. Now, with all that being said, these women that are in disagreement, I want you to just, in your mind, think about our church. We're Philippi, just for a moment, and here you have two women in our fellowship, and they're at odds with one another. They're citizens of heaven, and they love the Lord, but they're still at odds at one another. And you know, they walk into the main lobby, and if they see each other, they'll turn their heads and look the other way. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe in the chapel, they're no longer speaking, they're no longer looking at each other, and you know, one sits on the mask side. One sits on the unmasked side, and now they're friends. They have friends on both sides, and Facebook has exploded. You know what I mean? Okay, that right there is the situation. So the news has spread, and Paul's letter has now arrived. And so Epaphroditus has been reading this letter over, you know, through the verses and so forth. And you know, if they received the letter from Paul, would the church be full? Oh, man, you better believe it would be full. So as Epaphroditus, as he reads it, he finally gets to the place where we are in 4:2 in our own text. And then he reads their names publicly. Whoa. Do you think they were crawling under the pews? Yeah. They probably, the mask side, probably, you know, everybody put on a mask. I don't know. You understand? Let's read it now together. And I want you to really look at what Paul just is about to do. He says, I implore Eudio and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind or live in harmony with one another, he says, in the Lord. Now, there's not a command there. You know, you would think this apostle, he didn't say, I'm the apostle Paul, and da-da-da-da-da. He didn't say like he did over in Corinthians, you know, he says, commit this one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. I mean, hello, you know. There's not a command here, but there's the most tender heart as he corrects these two fine women. And remember, Eudio, or however that's really pronounced, you know, I didn't check my Greek, but I do know it means prosperous journey. Others translate it as fragrance, but I'm just going to call her prosperous. And Syntyche, it means happy chance or pleasant acquaintance, and I'm just going to call her happy. But I want you to listen now. Here's what Paul did. Did you notice that Paul uses the word implore? And he uses that same word twice. Why? Because he loved both of them equally. He says, I implore prosperous, I implore happy. In other words, there was no partiality. He loved them both equally. He knew them personally. He knew probably everything about them. And there's no command found right here. but he uses a word, parakaleo, implore, parakaleo. It means to come alongside of. And he's saying to these two ladies, you guys are at odds with one another. And it's hurting the church. It's affecting the church. And I know who you are. And Paul says, I am imploring, or I'm begging, I am pleading with you. You know, I know this verse. And pastors know that verse. And I'll tell you why. Because pastors plead with others when there's a division. Do you know that? I don't know that there's anyone in this church that hates discord as much as I do. It's of the devil. God hates discord. Amen? And boy, you know, he is so tender. He says, listen, I want you to parakaleo. I want you to come alongside each other again. I want you to hug. I want this to end. I want you to help one another. So Paul, he doesn't tell us what the argument or why they're at odds or what the deal is, but it was serious, or Paul would have never addressed it. I mean, most likely it was probably, you know, it was probably these two women were arguing because they wanted to hear a Mother's Day sermon, but they're getting a study out of Philippians. You know what I mean? It's a joke. All right, never mind. So look at Paul's appeal. He says, be of the same mind. And then he says, but in the Lord. That's Philippians 2:5 again. Okay? In other words, get back. If you'll do that, your differences, he says, will be settled. Now, listen, prosperous and happy. Do you think they were living in harmony? No. Were they united? No. Were they joyful? No. None of those things. Now, listen, you know and I know that getting along with other people in the world, is it difficult? They have problems. They don't get along. And you know what? The problem is that citizens of heaven, sometimes they don't get along. But it's much more serious when they don't get along than it is for the world, because we are one body. Amen? So here, these citizens of heaven, man, you know, he says, be of the same mind. Let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that to be of the same mind doesn't mean I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. Do you understand that? To be of the same mind, it doesn't mean concerning anything about the White House. To be of the same mind, it doesn't mean that, okay, everybody should wear a mask or nobody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you take the vaccine, all that crazy stuff. You know what? I'm going to mention something about the vaccine because it's such an issue, and I've not said a word about it. I've had people actually come, Bill, teach on it. I said, I'm not teaching on that. Let me tell you how to know whether you should take the vaccine or not. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you. Now, now, with all that being said, so it doesn't mean, you know, okay, I'll tell you. Are you a son or daughter of God?
Yes.
Then a son or daughter of God is led by the
Spirit.
There you go. There's your answer. Be led by the Spirit. He'll say no or yes. Okay, and leave it at that. You know, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dear God. Now, so being of the same mind doesn't mean your kids must be in a public school or your kids must be in a private Christian school. Do you follow me? No, no, no. It means to be that every believer, they must be what? Of the same mind in the Lord. Why? We belong to Him. That's a command. Did you know Philippians 2:5 is a command? It's imperative. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion at all. And when you, listen, whenever you have the same mind, that is the only solution for division. Did you know that? And if you'll do that, that's how division ends. Look back with me at Philippians 2:1. Let's look at this a little deeper. He says, therefore, in Philippians 2:1, meaning, there again, we're talking about behaving as citizens of heaven. Therefore, if there's any encouragement, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of His love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, or a koinonia, companionship, intimacy, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, any affection, mercy. Now look what Paul says. Fulfill my joy by being what? There you go. Thinking the same thing, which is, of course, the mind of Christ. And having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, emptying yourself of yourself. He says, let each esteem others better or more important than himself, and let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on our Monday program, and we encourage you to tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.